The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Hear God's holy word as it is recorded for today in the by St. James in the 5th chapter. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Then the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner away from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word and your encouragement to pray, to sing, and to trust in you as the giver of all good. Lord Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith in your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who together with you and the Holy Spirit rules and reigns now and forever. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this week is under the heading The Great Healing and has the watchword from Isaiah: a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Yes, we know that Jesus Christ binds, heals, rectifies, and brings to fulfillment wholeness and peace. Us who are no longer in paradise. Even we Christians are in this world and not in utopia. We too are in trouble. Not only an old man like David, who runs out of steam at the end of his life and cannot warm up. Sometimes, more than other times, we are just not with it. Yes, we are happy, and then we sing, but sometimes we are sick, ill, down with the dogs. Just ask Trina there, Simon, up in Nigeria. It's like the singer puts it, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes his mission in this way: for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Heal the ill, give sight to the blind, make the deaf hear, free the captives, justify the unrighteous, forgive sinners, return God's children home. But all of that would have been unnecessary if God's people had no troubles, no illness, no sin, weren't lost and far away from home. Yes, Jesus, he knows the troubles I've seen. And those who were in the fallen north might think, sometimes we're on fire and sometimes we're just burnt out. Thankfully, our Lord and God has triumphed over all evil, sin and the devil. There's no way anything can separate us from him anymore, not even our bad health, our misery, or terrible and most lamentable sinfulness. That's why Dr. Luther invites us to join him in consent and common confession when he writes in the Smilecard articles, which we are studying as seniors together, we now want to return to the gospel, which gives guidance and help against sin in more than one way. Because God is extravagantly rich in his grace. First, through the spoken word, in which the forgiveness of sins is preached to the whole world, which is the proper function of the gospel. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of the altar. Fourth, through the power of the keys, and also through the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and sisters. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am right with them. Through the spoken word, sermon, and preaching, God calls that which is not there into being. His authoritative preaching, which we heard about on Monday from Brother John. Through songs, hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, not only this lovely hymn which we sang just now, which gives us words to put into language those deep feelings which we have. We heard about that yesterday from Brother Martin. Today we hear of prayer and supplication, of invocation and pleading in connection with the confession of sins before our brothers and sisters. We hear the story of the great and righteous prophet Elijah. And he is taken as an example of somebody who when he prayed earnestly, it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Because it says there, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's great things. Now we've come to confession. It's probably right, salutary, and good if we recognize that it is not because of our righteousness that we lie before God with our prayers, but rather on account of his grace and mercy that we call on him. Yes, it's true that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But who of us would dare and say that the Lord owes us anything because of our righteousness, merit, or worthiness? No, we must look down with shame and admit that if it was because of us, we would have long been lost, hopelessly condemned, really hopeless cases. But that is why we come to confession, because we are not to pray in the name of our own sakes, but rather we come in the name of Jesus Christ, who not only taught us to pray, how and with what words, but also gave us the great promise, clarifying, whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. Now, my dear friends, no question amongst us that he was righteous. No question about that one. Did not his father say, "This is my beloved son, listen to him"? And did he not, after he had conquered evil, sin, and the devil, rise victoriously to heaven with all authority in heaven and on earth, so that we should not be afraid, but rather come to him like to our big brother and say, please help us, take care of us, and do what you have promised. The worst illness that we have is our corruption due to our lack of trust and faith. It is that we don't love God as we should, and we always doubt his goodness and even his most firm promises. And that is why we come this morning to confession, and we confess these sins not only to each other, saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but also before God, saying, this is my weakness, that I don't trust you, although all your promises from the very beginning are yes and amen in him who encourages us to pray always. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. And he who knows us, not only our troubles, but our deepest thoughts, our innermost heart and being, he is the one who says, don't be afraid. He is the one who says, trust me on this, for I forgive you all your sins. He has got the authority to do that. He proved it on numerous occasions, that he not only said, I forgive you your sins, but also healed those with very serious illnesses. Yes, he even called those who were already dead back to life. Now, that shows his preaching with authority, his words of creative power, which call that which is not there into being. In that way, he can also heal you and grant you that new life which was given to you already in baptism, so that daily you would arise and live in righteousness and holiness as it pleases God your Father. He indeed healed all our diseases and forgives all our sins. My dear friends, God encourages us to pray, and he wants us to say yes to everyone we said. Thus God has laid before us very briefly all the afflictions that may ever beset us, in order that we may never have an excuse for failing to pray. Don't think he's only just putting you down, but rather he's giving you a good reason to come before him and pray to him. Because is it not strange, Mr. Gebotur, how often we miss out on prayer opportunities because we've got better things to do? Is it not strange that at this time the hall is full, but if it's late or if it's early, we think we've got other things to do? Is it not necessary for us to learn from our God, and that he has to push us, even with these afflictions, that we would start to pray in earnest. That the efficacy of prayer consists of our learning to say Amen to it. That is, not to doubt that our prayer is surely heard and will be answered. This word Amen is nothing else than an unquestioning word of faith on the part of the one who does not pray as a matter of luck or of ritual or because it is the time he had seminary, but someone who knows that God does not lie because he has promised to grant us what we ask in the name of Jesus. Where there is no faith like that, there can be no proper prayer. It is therefore a pernicious delusion when people pray in such a way that they dare not wholeheartedly add yes and conclude with certainty that God hears their prayer. Instead, they remain in doubt, saying, "Why should I be so bold as to boast that God hears my prayer? I am not as righteous as Elijah. I am only a poor sinner." But did you hear what James says? He says, Elijah was a man just like us. He too could not come and stand before God because of his own righteousness, but rather on the promise of Christ, on the promise that God had also given him the authority to come before him as one who stands there by grace alone. Yes, that means that we all are looking not at God's promise but at their own works and worthiness if we doubt our prayers. But we should not do that, because that despises God and accuses him of lying. That is why we would receive nothing, as in James says, but ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Look, God has attached much importance to our being certain, so that we do not pray in vain and despise our prayers in any way. Dear brothers and sisters, we come to the Lord to confess our sins and to ask him for mercy, that he will not look at them as we deserve it, but rather look at Jesus Christ, who died for us too. In this confidence, let us say, Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.